everyone?
Yes.
Wednesday night, 7 p.m., looking forward to serving the Lord.
Amen.
And being here gathered with all of you wonderful people. And let's just go to the Lord in prayer and open up this service.
Yes.
Pastor Buck, would you like to open the service up?
Yes, amen. Father, we just thank you for the honor and the privilege and the opportunity to be in your house tonight. We thank you, God, for your power that makes us all overcomers. We thank you, Lord, that we have something to look forward to, and we have something that we can live today in. And that's in your grace and your mercy. We ask you to take charge of this service. Let us focus on you and not man. And may we just enjoy your presence tonight with the family that you've given us here at Glad Tidings. God, we love you, we need you, and we invite you to take charge right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, remember everybody that is not here tonight. We've got some people out sick. We've got some people out traveling. Just remember everybody that is not here tonight. The cars and Sister Lynn is not here, and my mom is traveling. She's down in Tampa with my aunt, and she'll be back this weekend. And Barbara Green and Avis and. Don't want to miss anybody who else. But anyhow, yes, Brother Earl, Sister Noble.
Audrey?
Yeah, that's Audrey Noble.
Oh, okay.
So, just remember those people in prayer that they'll be back with us soon.
Amen.
All right, if you want to grab a hymn book and turn to page 257. All right, 257. That song is Won't It Be Wonderful There. And stand up, clap with us if you can. If you want to go around and hug somebody's neck, if you haven't done so already, just have a time of fellowship while we open up in this first song.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be Amen. No burdens to bear.
Amen to that. Nothing to worry about. No aches, no pains,
Amen.
No bills to pay.
Amen.
Oh, nothing to worry about there. Just eternal life with our Jesus.
Amen. With each other.
Makes you kind of want to go right now, don't it?
It does. It does. As long as everybody's ready to go.
Yes.
Rejoice in my Lord.
Yes.
No matter what, even if I go blind eventually, I'll be with the. I'll just still have the Lord. He's not going anywhere. But I know He's capable also of totally healing me and Kara. Kara is fighting glaucoma also. But today they have eye drops that you take, and it prevents it from getting worse. So that is a wonderful miracle too. God is so good to give us such medicines. Amen.
Amen. Well, two minutes gone. I'll fly away. When this life is over, I'll
Jesus is going to come for us. The Father is going to say to him, Jesus, now's the time. Go get your bride. Are you waiting and watching for Jesus? Lately, I've been thinking as I look all around me. I see by the sun. tomorrow, but I pray that it's today. And we will fly away in the twinkling of an eye, leaving all our heartaches, telling them all goodbye. Yes, we will fly away when he hears the Father say, Jesus, go and get your bride. Today's your wedding day. Jesus is just waiting for the word to come and get us and take us home for the feast of the Lamb, the wedding feast of the Lamb. All right? Well, we'll just carry right on then. Jesus put on my heart to remind us that we are his bride. I think about all the titles that we have as Christians, that being one. Christian, a follower of Jesus. We're his disciples. We're saints. We're ambassadors. We are his children. We're chosen ones. We're friends of Christ. We're heirs of salvation. We're kings. We're priests to God. But a special name is we're the bride of Christ. Amen? And Jesus is our bridegroom. And I was thinking of the book of Hosea. Jesus says this, he's talking to Israel, but it's really to the body of believers that believe in Jesus. He says in the book of Hosea, chapter 2, verses 14 through 19. I might skip a couple of them in between, but he says, therefore, behold, God speaking, I will allure her, I'll draw her, and bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfortably unto her. And this is after Israel has gone astray, gone after her other gods, played the harlot, not acknowledged God as her Savior and Lord. And he says, I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali. Ishi means husband. She will call me her husband. She will no longer call me master or Lord. For I will take away the names of Balaam, or her gods, out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. Sounds like the end times, doesn't it? The new earth. And I will betroth thee. I love this verse. Verse 19. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And isn't that what the Lord has done for each and every one of us that are believers, that are Christians? He allured us, and he brought us into a wilderness, kind of, to be alone with him and to sing a new song, to be a new person, a new creation. That's what Jesus did by dying on the cross for our sins, didn't he? He made a way back to himself. He loved us that much that he was willing to lay down his life for his bride. Isaiah 54, when I was single for 13 years, I found this scripture. And for anybody here tonight that doesn't have their spouse, Isaiah 54 is really precious. Verse 5, God speaks to Israel again, but he can speak to each of us individually. For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. He says he will be Israel's husband. He will be our husband. Amen? And at the beginning, I like what it says too. It says that more are going to be the children of the desolate one. And I take that to mean that we can have lots of spiritual children, even in old age, through the Spirit of the Lord working in us to reach others and draw the kingdom of God. And so that verse says, stretch out your tent pegs for more to come in. And we're stretching out our tent pegs here at Glad Tidings, aren't we? For more to come into the family. Amen? Yes. To be married to Jesus. When we take communion, we are seeing the betrothal of Jesus to us, the body of Christ. We are seeing him make a covenant with us. A wedding, a marriage ceremony, is a covenant that cannot be broken. A covenant is something that cannot be broken. And so when Jesus took the bread and said, this is my body which is given for broken for you, and then he took the cup of wine and he passed it around to all of the disciples, and he said, this is the blood, my blood, in the New Covenant, or the New Testament, Luke 22, let me read that for you. He said, take this and divide it among yourselves, a piece of matzah or bread without leaven in it. And he said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I'm sorry, verse 17, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves, meaning the cup. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the cup of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. They would understand from this that a Jewish wedding or a betrothal period was like this, where the father would choose the bride for his son. And we've been chosen, we've been drawn by God's Spirit, haven't we? The Father has chosen us to come. Now we have the free will to say yes or no. And the Son would come to the family's home, and they would write a paper. There would be a covenant made between the two that the bride-to-be would say, yes, I will marry your son. And he would say, yes, I will marry your daughter to her parents. And then they would drink a cup of wine together to seal that agreement. And then he would go away for a time to prepare a house, a place for the wedding and for his bride to come. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, didn't he? So Jesus has come, made the covenant with us, the betrothal period, the engagement period, if you would like. And then he has gone to be with the Father. So every time we take communion and we drink remember his blood, that was the price that he paid to have the bride, in order to get the bride. But the bridegroom-to-be always had to pay a price to get the woman, called her dowry. And Jesus has done that for us. He paid the price with his body and his blood. So he's gone to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we might be also. And we're going to go to the wedding feast of the Lamb, the final wedding. Right now, we're in the betrothal period. And we're to be chaste. We're to be faithful. We're to be longing for him. We're to be looking for him. And he said that we wouldn't know when he would come, right? So we're his bride, and he has. And Jesus said to the disciples, unless I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I can't send the Comforter. And so I think of the Comforter, or the Holy Ghost, I think of him as my engagement ring.
Amen.
Now he's called the pledge of our future inheritance. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 1:22, where Paul says, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So the Lord will know us by his Spirit in us too. Buck and I, when we got married, put a ring on our fingers, and we didn't really have much of an engagement time. But we both were wearing engagement rings to Jesus. I have a little ring that has a heart on it and the name Jesus. So I am always reminded that I am betrothed to Jesus, and he's coming for me. And then the ring that Buck and I chose to wear as our wedding rings says, I am my beloved's and he is mine. And that's what we are to Jesus. We are his beloved and he is ours. Amen? Amen. Oh, it's wonderful to have the title, the Bride of Christ. And we need to be longing and waiting for him. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27 says this. Thought I had that marked. Chris has probably got it faster than I do. Yeah. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. Christ is the head of the church. This is 23. Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. And then in verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Jesus has washed us clean, hasn't he? He's forgiven our sins and he's sanctified us or set us apart for himself. And we should be waiting and watching for him. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says something similar. It says, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Isn't it wonderful that we've been sealed? We have our engagement ring. The Holy Ghost is our first installment of our inheritance. He gives us wisdom and reminds us what Jesus said. He builds us as the body of Christ into a holy temple that God resides in. He strengthens us and he motivates unity in the body of Christ. And I ran across something too about a Jewish betrothal period, that the two families probably lived in near proximity in the same little town or city. And they would all get together for this engagement party, and then for a period of time while the son is preparing their home, the families would get to know each other. And the girl, the bride-to-be, would get to know his family and get to know all the relatives and get to know more about him as a person, because usually the marriage was planned by the father, so the bride didn't know the son very well, the father's son. But I think now that we're in this betrothal time as the body of Christ, this is a time to get to know each other better. We're going to be together forever.
Yes.
Have you thought about that?
Yes.
We're family. We're going to be together forever. And our bridegroom is preparing a place for all of us. And in the meantime, we can get to know more about Jesus through each other. Because we've all had experiences with our Savior. And as we share those experiences with one another, we get to know Jesus better. And as we see, for instance, this afternoon, Buck and I went to lunch at Piccadilly. And there was a woman serving that Buck and I looked at her, listened to her, and I said to him, I think she's a sister in the Lord. Because you could just see the happiness and the joy in spite of her being behind a hot counter and serving everybody and spending when she would probably rather be at home doing other things. But she had joy. And so Buck said to her, I think you're a sister in the Lord. And she said, how can you tell? And he said, you just shine. You just glow. So she was showing us more of Jesus. We were getting to know a little more about Jesus through her and getting to know the family that we're going to be together with. Isn't it fun to meet a new Christian and see more of the body of Christ? Amen. In the Song of Solomon, years ago I heard this story about a woman that was dying from Hunter's disease? Leprosy? Is that what they call it now? At any rate, she was dying of leprosy, and she called her pastor to come to the hospital or wherever she was to pray with her. And she said, "Pastor, in the middle of the night, the Spirit of God spoke to me." Now, this woman didn't even know the Word of God. She had not read the Scriptures. But this is exactly what she told him. And I'll quote from the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. The Spirit spoke to this woman and said, "My beloved spake and said unto me," she means the Spirit of God spoke to her and said this, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." Isn't that sweet? And she died soon after that to be with her Lord, to be with her bridegroom. He was saying, "Come away." Isaiah 61:10 talks about the bride. 61:10. Now this is us. We are going to do this. "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels." Jesus has given us a garment of righteousness, hasn't he? You know the story where the wedding feast, people are called to the wedding, and he says to one person, "What are you doing here? You don't have the wedding garment on." And he cast him out. But those of us that believe and trust in the Lord Jesus, in his sacrifice on the cross for our sins, he has made us righteous, hasn't he? And he has given us a gown of righteousness. And so we'll be welcome at that wedding feast. And Isaiah 62, 4 through 5, "Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate." Boy, when you were aware of your sinful nature and all the sin you had committed in your life, didn't you feel rather desolate, unworthy, unholy? But God says this, "But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee." In the book of Zephaniah, it says that our God will even dance over us. And can't you just see him being wild with joy, just dancing hilariously almost, just so happy that the bride is home and that we're all together. What a day that will be. Revelation 19, 7 through 9. We finish up here with a picture of the wedding feast. 19, 7 through 9. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him," to Jesus. "For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." The only way we can be ready is to be in Christ, right? To accept his free gift of salvation, not by works. "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of the brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. That day is coming, and it's been thousands of years since Jesus said he would return, but he is faithful, and what he says he will do. And so we know he's coming for us. And I want to be a bride that's watching and waiting and longing for him, hungering and thirsting for a closer relationship with him. Revelation 22:20 says this. Surely I come quickly, Jesus says. And the bride says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Are you looking forward to Jesus coming? Jesus wants us to meditate on the fact that we are his bride. We are very special to him. He loves us so much. And the reason I believe that it's called the wedding feast of the Lamb, because we know he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but it's called the wedding feast of the Lamb because that reminds us how much he loves us. He was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. And so when we look upon our Savior, and perhaps we will see the scars. Some have talked about there being jewels where the scars were in his hands and his feet. We will just be so in love with him, the Lamb of God that took away our sin. Amen. Let's be watching and waiting for him. And let's be a faithful bride to be. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Bud.
Well, you know, I'm in love with Nikki. And God has given us to each other for this time. But we will never know the true love that Jesus has for us until we see what he's prepared for us. Out of love, he said, I'm going to go away for a little while. But I'm going to be with you through my Spirit. And so the Holy Ghost is a taste. And I am so hungry to be with Jesus forevermore. Amen. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then you'll never know what true love is really all about. The old song from Hee Haw says, I searched the world over, and I thought I found true love. You met another, and you was gone. But with Jesus, he said, I will never leave you. That's right, Brother Tom, nor forsake you. So tonight, let's not forget who we are. We're not losers. We're not castaways. We are the bride of Christ. My. We are the bride. We have an inheritance waiting on us. We have the power of the Holy Ghost now. Amen. And that power is to love others and to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ so they can become part of that bride also. Amen. See, Jesus' heart big enough for many, many, many brides.
Amen.
The bride of Christ.
Amen.
Tonight, wherever you're at, Jesus wants to show his love by forgiving you of your sins. Jesus wants to show you what real love is all about. Jesus wants you to be clean and forgiven. He's coming back for a bride, a spotless, spotless bride. And only Jesus can make us clean. So tonight, won't you just receive his love? Won't you quit kicking yourself around and saying, oh, look what I've done. You know what? Jesus said, I'll forgive you of that and never bring it up again. What a wonderful husband he is. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you'll never know what it'll be like to be married to him. And you're going to miss out on all the good things that God has for each and every one of you. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and just thank God for that promise we have that he's coming back to take us to that place he's preparing. Father, thank you for drawing us tonight to you, to Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Spirit of the living God that lives in all believers' hearts. Thank you, Lord, for opening up our heart and our mind of understanding that no matter how far in sin we've gone, that you are waiting with your arms outstretched and your heart wide open to receive us and embrace us and watch over us and protect us and empower us to be an overcomer, that sin will have no hold on us never again when you set us free. Help us to turn our hearts towards you. Let tonight be a turning point in our life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for our place of worship. Thank you for our church family, the Bride of Christ, and for those throughout the world that have been saved, sanctified, set apart for your good service. In Jesus' name. And the church says,
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're not going to dismiss. We're just going to say, let's continue on into Sunday, and let's go out and serve God and share his love. Our soon coming bride, our soon coming king, husband. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.